Okay, we can get started. Boker Tov, everybody. Really, Yeshu Koach, we're coming out on Erev Pesach, Erev Pesach, and really a pleasure. We, as those who know Torah Moshe know, we believe in providing Torah learning at all times, and, you know, and people can come when they can come. So thank you very much. And I will mention, as I mentioned before, I will be giving a shiur tomorrow at 9:30. I totally understand if people can't come, but people who can come, I'm here willing to teach, please God. So that'll be at 9:30. The regular sort of the Friday morning slot that I normally have will be at 9:30. But it's a pleasure to welcome back Lior Moskowitz, Ornstein, right?
Ornshine,
who has just got married. So, and she is a student in GPATS in at Stern College, graduate program in advanced Talmud studies. She's working on a master's, I believe, in Talmudic studies, a graduate of Frisch High School. That's not so long ago. I don't mention where I graduated from high school. It's way too long ago. And was worked as director of education at Moshe Babeir, I believe, this summer. And it's really a pleasure to welcome her and her parents and brother and grandparents. So, Vakasha, this Seder experience. Vakasha Lior, it's all yours.
Thank you, Rabbi Kelman. I'd also like to thank the sponsors of the whole Shear series, and specifically the Irving Montag sponsorship of the GPATS program. Irving Montag was a generous philanthropist and donor of many institutions in the Jewish community, and really brought the Jewish community together through learning Torah and through his funding of really important Jewish institutions. And he's a large funder of the GPATS program that I'm in right now, which I'm very grateful for. So thank you to the Montag family. And this shiur should be a schus le'ilui neshama of Irving Montag, zechor l'bracha. Okay, what I'd like to talk about today, is the experience of Leil HaSeder and the experience of darkness and light, and this tension between Yom and Laila, day and night, darkness and night, and how this theme runs through Leil HaSeder. So if I were to ask you, before we see the sources, what time of day do you think the Exodus happened? What time of day did the Jewish people leave Mitzrayim? And why would you say so? So there are a few answers you might say. Maybe you would say, surely we left at night. Isn't the entire experience of Leil HaSeder, all of the mitzvot and the main part of the holiday is Leil HaSeder, which we celebrate at night? Must mean we're celebrating an Exodus that happened during the nighttime. Or maybe you'll say, don't we know that the Jewish people left in the bright of day, le'inei kol Mitzrayim, in front of all of the eyes of all the nations, meaning that everybody could see us leaving. Hashem made a great miracle in broad daylight that we left Egypt. So Yetziat Mitzrayim happens during the day. What we're going to do now is we're going to look at the Psukim, and we're going to see that there's a very much a confusion in the Psukim. It's very unclear. A lot of ambiguities as to when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, whether they left during the daytime or whether they left during the nighttime. So here I'm going to get the sources up for you, and we could start looking through the Psukim. Let's share. Oh, a host has disabled participant screen sharing. Oh, we'll get it up in a moment. But I see Rabbi Kelman added this. I am now a co-host.
Sorry, that was my fault. I forgot to make you
co-host. We got it.
Co-host now, yeah. Sorry, about
that. Share screen. Awesome. Okay. Let's see. People see the sources? Awesome.
Yeah. Can you make it a little bigger? Yeah, that's good.
Good? Awesome. Okay, so let's start in source number one. This is going to be Psukim talking about the Jewish people leaving Egypt. And let's try to decipher whether it happened during the day or during the night. Pasuk starts in Pasuk Kaftet. Vayehi bechatzi halayla. And it was in the middle of the night. This is very familiar to us from perhaps one of the songs that we sing in Nirtza all the way at the end of the Seder of Vayehi bechatzi halayla. It was in the middle of the night. So let's see what the Torah tells us. When did the Jewish people leave Mitzrayim? Pasuk Kaftet says Vayehi bechatzi halayla. It was in the middle of the night, and Hashem slayed all of the firstborns in the land of Egypt, from the animals to the humans. The plague of the firstborns happens, it happens in the middle of the night. And let's look in Pasuk Lamed, and Paro got up that night to tell the Jewish people that they have to leave, get out of here, we're so scared. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Vayikra Moshe Aaron, Laila. And Pyro calls out to Moshe and Aaron, Laila, at night. And they say, Kumutsu'u mitochami. B'nai Israel, leave Mitzrayim. Get out of here. All of the plagues happened. We're up to the 10th Makkah Bechorot. And now the Mitzrayim say, we can't take it anymore. We can't handle it. B'nai Israel, leave. And when do they say this? Laila. This is all happening in the middle of the night. B'chatzi halayla. And look at Pasuk Lamed Gimel. B'techadzik Mitzrayim al ha'am l'maher l'shalcha min ha'aretz. And the Mitzrayim were strong to force B'nai Israel to leave quickly from the land. They said, leave, leave. And in Pasuk Lamed Daled, we see, Vayisa ha'am epteko, the Jewish people took their dough on their backs, terem yechmat, before it could even rise. The Mitzrayim forced B'nai Israel out of Mitzrayim so fast, they didn't even have time for their dough to rise, right? And that's why we eat matzah. In the middle of the night, Makkah Bechorot happened, and then sequentially, right after Makkah Bechorot, at midnight, the Mitzrayim forced the Jewish people to leave in an instant, in such a small moment. Be'chazik Mitzrayim, they forced them to leave right away. So if we're going to get a tally going, where would this tally us? Did B'nai Israel leave Mitzrayim during the day or during the night? I would say one tally for during the night, right? B'nai Israel left right after Makkah Bechorot, Be'chatzi HaLayla, it appears. But let's look at source number two. Maybe something a little bit different. Source number two, Shmot Perek Yud Bet, Pasuk Yud Zayin. The Torah tells us, Ushmartem et hamatzot, you should keep Chag HaPesach, ki be'etzem hayom hazeh, hotzitzi et zivotecha me'aretz Mitzrayim. Be'etzem hayom hazeh, on this very day, Hashem took you out of Egypt. Hashem took the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. And be'etzem hayom hazeh, on this very day, we see in the Torah always means in the middle of the day, in broad daylight. We'll see this in a number of sources. Source number three, the Medrash tells us, Mahu be'etzem hayom hazeh. What does it mean B'nai Israel left be'etzem hayom hazeh? What does it mean they left on this very day? The Medrash tells us it means Bigvuros shemesh bechatzi hayom. It was in the strength of the day when the sun was shining its brightest, smack during the daylight. That's when B'nai Israel left Mitzrayim. Be'etzem hayom hazeh. Bigvuros hashemesh, when the sun was shining. And we see Rashi tells us this also. This phrase of Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh is not unique to Pesach, but Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh comes up a few times in the Torah. Rashi says it comes up three times. It comes up also with not the exact same language, but very similar language, a fourth time also. And let's see, trivia. Anyone know when does Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh come up in the Torah throughout Chumash? There are three times and maybe a fourth time we see Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. Let's try to list them. One is here, when B'nai Israel are leaving Mitzrayim. Another is a lot earlier in the Torah, where we see in Parsha Noach, where Noach and his sons enter the Teva. They go into the Ark before the big mobble happens, and it says the time of the day they went into the Ark was Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. And also, the place where Rashi brings this down for us is when at Moshe's death. When Moshe passes away, it says that Moshe died Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. So we see at a few very seminal, very important times in Jewish history throughout the Torah says, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. It also says Be'etzem Hayom. It just didn't say Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh when Avraham gets a bris milah. When Avraham and Yishmael get a bris milah, it says, it happens, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. And Rashi tells us, if you look in source number four, what does Etzem Hayom Hazeh mean? We see, B'shlosha makomo ne'emar Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. Three places in the Torah, we see that something happened on this very day. Something happened Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. What are those times? Ne'amar ba'Noach. We see it happens by Noach, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. Ba'Noach v'Gomer. Everybody came. Noach and his sons came into the Teva. And what time did that happen? B'mar'is oro shel yom. During the time when we could see the daylight the most clearly. Right in the middle of the day. Like the Medrash said, B'gvuros hashemesh. When the sun was shining. That's what Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh means. And Rashi goes on to tell us, B'Mitzrayim Ne'emar. We also learned this B'Mitzrayim, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, Hotzi Hashem. Hashem took B'nai Israel out of Mitzrayim. And then also a third time, and Moshe's death. Afkan B'Misa Sosha Moshe. Also at the time that Moshe died, Ne'emar, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. It's a B'nai Israel left on this very day. And so what is Shmot Perek Yud Bet Pasuk Yud Zayin on our tally telling us B'nai Israel left in the middle of the day? So right now we're one and one. We have Bechatzi Halayla, At midnight, Makkah Bechor happens, and Mitzrayim rush the Jewish people out. But then on the other hand, we have smack in the middle of the day, Begvuros HaShemesh, Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh, B'nei Yisrael Lef Mitzrayim. Okay, and it's not just these two. There are tons more psukim that come with ambiguities, whether it happened during the day or during the night. When exactly was the time of Yetziat Mitzrayim? So let's see a few more of them and see if perhaps they can clarify for us. Let's look at Shmot Perek Yud Bet, psukim Mem Aleph and Mem Bet. These two psukim that come one after another, and they're going to be totally contradictory to each other. Pasuk Mem Aleph says, at the end of 430 years, Vayehi mikitz shloshim shana va'arba ma'ot shana Vayehi ve'etzim hayom hazeh. Again, we have this etzim hayom hazeh. We see after 430 years, on this very day, Yatsu kol tzvakos Hashem me'eretz Mitzrayim. Then all the Jewish people left Mitzrayim. So that's ve'etzim hayom hazeh. That's in broad daylight. But then the next passage that comes right after that says, Leil shimurim hu la Hashem. Lahutziyam me'eretz Mitzrayim. And Bechor Shor tells us on this pasuk, the Bechor Shor says, Leil Shimurim, what does that mean, a night of guarding? He says, it means that Hashem has been guarding and waiting this night to take the Jewish people out of Egypt. Hashem has been waiting all of this time to take B'nai Yisrael and Mitzrayim on this night. And so what is that? Pasuk Membet said, all B'nai Yisrael left Mitzrayim, Be'etzim Hayom Hazeh. But now Pasuk Membet is saying, Hashem has been waiting all this time to take B'nai Yisrael out of Mitzrayim on this night. So which is it? Was it Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh on this very day, or Leil Shimurim on this very night? And if you continue on in the pasuk, it says again, Hu HaLaila HaZeh, it was this night that is a Leil Shimurim. Again, emphasizing the night. So which is it, day or is it night? And the next verse also, Bamidbar Perek Lami Gimel, Pasuk Gimel, it says that B'nai Yisrael were leaving Egypt. It's telling us another recounting of the Exodus, and it says, the B'nai Yisrael vayasuma Ramses, they left Ramses, fast forward a little bit, mimacharat ha-Pesach, on the day after Pesach, right after Pesach. What does it mean, the day after Pesach? It doesn't mean Pesach like we know it, Pesach the holiday. It means Pesach as in the Korban Pesach. And when was the Korban Pesach given? The Korban Pesach was given at night. So when the Pasuk tells us, mimacharat ha-Pesach, the day after the Pesach, it implies for us that the Jewish people, what's happening right now, is happening during the daytime. The Pesach was at night, and now we're mimacharat ha-Pesach. Now we're at the time right after that. So it shows B'nai Yisrael leaving during the daytime. And the pasuk goes on to say, Yatsu B'nai Yisrael biyad rama le'enei kol Mitzrayim. B'nai Yisrael left Egypt biyad rama in front of the eyes of all the Egyptians, so the whole world could see the glory of God taking the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. So when is it happening? It seems like it's happening during the daytime. Personally, when I read this pasuk, I was a little bit confused about how this pasuk teaches us that B'nai Yisrael left during the day. But Etzem Hayom Hazeh and Leil Shimurim and Chatzi HaLaila, those seem to be very clear indications of daytime and nighttime. But this Mimacharat HaPesach and La'inei Kol Mitzrayim, it could be it was a little bit light at night. They could see them La'inei Kol Mitzrayim and Mimacharat HaPesach. Does that necessarily mean it was Dafka during the daytime? But we're going to see that all the Mefarshim, Chazal and the Gemara, everybody uses this pasuk to teach us that B'nai Yisrael left Mitzrayim during the day. So apparently this is a very important pasuk to teach us that it was daytime when B'nai Yisrael left Mitzrayim. And now one last pasuk to add to this whole jumble. In source number 7, Devarim Perek Tet Zayin, Pasuk Aleph. The Torah tells us, Shemor et HaChodesh HaAviv, Keep Pesach, Chag HaAviv, Ma'asita Pesach LaHashem Elokecha, Make a Korban Pesach for Hashem, because it was during the springtime that Hashem took B'nai Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Pasuk could have just ended there. Chag Ha'aviv, Hashem took B'nai Yisrael out of the springtime. But the pasuk goes on to clarify for us what time of day Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Ki b'chodesh ha'aviv hotziach Hashem elokecha mitzrayim, Laila, at night. It was during the night that Hashem took B'nai Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. But didn't we just say in the last pasuk that mimacharat haPesach la'inei kol Mitzrayim, everyone used that to teach us that B'nai Yisrael left during the day? So what's happening here? Very confusing in the pesukim. We look at all of these accounts of Yetziat Mitzrayim in Sefer Shmot, in Bamidbar, when it's recounted in Sefer Devarim, and in each of these recountings of the story of the Exodus, it has a different opinion whether the Exodus happened during the day or during the night. Very clear contradictions in the Pesukim, straight out contradictions, right? It says Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, but then it says Laila. Left Mitzrayim. And Rashi picks up on this also. We see in source number 8, Rashi says in this pasuk that Hashem took B'nai Yisrael out of Mitzrayim Laila. Rashi says, Mitzrayim Laila, look in the bold part in source number 8, V'halo b'yom yatu. Didn't B'nai Yisrael leave during the day? Shenemar, mimacharat ha-pesach, yatu B'nai Yisrael v'chulei. Right? The pasuk, Rashi says, why are we saying it happened during the night? Didn't we just have a pasuk that said B'nai Yisrael left during the day? And so Rashi tries to give us an answer here. And his answer we're going to see is based on the Gemara. Rashi says, maybe this is a possible answer. Ela lefi shebalayla natan lahem paro reshut latzeit. At night, Paro gave B'nai Israel permission to leave Egypt. And then only during the daytime did the Jewish people actually leave Egypt. Right? At night, Paro said, you can leave Mitzrayim. And during the day, they left Mitzrayim. It's still a little challenging, though, because if we think about the first source that we saw when B'nai Israel were leaving Mitzrayim after Makkah Bechorot, and are saying the Egyptians chased them out at night, they didn't have time for their dough to rise, it kind of seems like they were chased out at night. It kind of seems like they actually left at night. On the other hand, we have all these psukim supporting that they left in the middle of the day. So it could be that what Rashi's saying is Paro gave B'nai Israel permission to leave at night, but they only left came daylight. They only left once the light came in the morning. So that's a possible resolution. And the Gemara actually also brings that resolution, which is probably why Rashi tells it to us here, right? The Gemara in Brachot is talking all about what time you can eat matzah until at the Seder. Can you only eat matzah until Chatzot or also until Alos HaShachar? What's the proper time for eating it, right? And this is a whole thing of the Seder. Everyone has their competitions. Some people, you know, like to have a chick-chock Seder. Oh, however fast we can get it done, that's the winner. Earliest Seder is the winner. And then other people have, my Seder went till 2 in the morning. My Seder went till 2:30, 3 o'clock, right? Who Seder can go the longest? But then all the halachic minds come in and say, ooh, your Seder went the longest. Doesn't really mean you're so frum, because really there's a cutoff point when we're allowed to eat matzah, when we're allowed to eat afikomen. I mean, based on the Korban Pesach, can we eat it only until Chatzot or also all the way till the morning, till Alos HaShachar? And the Gemara tells us the answer to this question on when we're allowed to eat until is based on when the Geula from Mitzrayim was. So this is perfect. This is going to tell us how Chazal sees all these psukim. How do they reconcile when exactly the Geula happens? So let's read the Gemara together in Masachet Brachot, Daf Teh Amar Aleph. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba says, Hakol Modim, everyone agrees, Kishni Ga'alu Yisrael Mi Mitzrayim, when the Jewish people were redeemed from Egypt, lo nigalu ela ba'erev. The geula happens at night. So if we were to pause right there, we would say, what's the question? They totally resolved it for us. B'nai Yisrael left Mitzrayim at night. Shemar, like the pasuk tells us, v'yotziyecha Hashem elokecha mimitzrayim laila. Hashem brought us out of Mitzrayim at night. But the Gemara then goes on to tell us, the geula happened at night. But kishayatsu, when did B'nai Israel actually leave? When did they take their feet and walk and all of their things and leave Mitzrayim? Lo yatsu, elabayom. They only left Mitzrayim during the day. Shenemar, like that pasuk showed us, mimacharat ha-pesach yatsu B'nai Israel biyad rama. The day after bringing the Korban Pesach, B'nai Israel left with a mighty hand in front of everybody so everyone could see the Jewish people leaving Mitzrayim. So the Gemara is reconciling for us that perhaps the permission was granted at night. The real geula happened at night, but B'nai Israel didn't leave until the daytime. So that's perhaps how we can trying to reconcile all these psukim. But still, we see something. I think even if we want to say that it was at the geula, the reshut, the permission was at night, and we didn't leave until the day, I think the Torah is trying to tell us something more. Because the Torah could tell us, and Paro told them they could leave at night, and they left during the day. But instead of presenting it to us like that, the Torah just brings us all over the place. It makes it very ambiguous, very unclear when the geula happened. So I think what's happening is that there's this theme going on. There's this ambiguity going on between this mixture of day and night, this lack of clarity, this not really knowing what is day and what is night. And we're going to try to make a little sense as we go on is what this theme is trying to tell us. What this theme of a lack of clarity between day and night reflects about our experience of Pesach and specifically about our experience of Leil HaSeder. And it's not only the Pesukim in the Torah that present this theme to us of this ambiguity between darkness and light, between day and night, but Chazal picks up on it also. We see in the Gemara in the beginning of Pesachim, right? If you want to see the nature of something, you want to really get a sense of what something's going to be, usually you look in the beginning. The beginning is going to tell us what the essence is going to be. The beginning of Masechta Pesachim is telling us what's something about Pesach? What is the nature of Pesach? And what is the first Mishnah in Masechta Pesachim? If you open up a Gemara Pesachim, it starts, Or La'arba Asar. I was going to translate it, but the translation is very confusing. Right? Or La'arba Asar, Bodkin et Hachamitz La'or Haner. On the Or, the light of the 14th, we do B'dika Hachamitz La'or Haner. Now, what does it mean, Or? What does it mean, the light of the 14th? When do we do B'dika Hachamitz? Tonight. Right? Tonight is B'dika Hachamitz. We do B'dika Hachamitz during the nighttime. And Or, what do we think Or would mean? Or presumably means light during the daytime. Or La'arba Asar, Bodkim et Hachamitz La'or Haner. What does this mean? What is this weird language that the Gemara is telling us? And if you look, right, the next thing that happens in the Gemara asks, my Or, what is this Or? Or La'arba Asar, we do B'dika Hachamitz. What does Or mean? And it's a machlokes. Rav Huna says, Rav Huna Amar, Nagi. V'Rav Yehuda Amar, Lele. Rav Huna says, it means daytime. It means light. During the day, we do B'dika Hachamitz. And Rav Yehuda says, Or means Lele. We do B'dika Hachamitz. During the nighttime, we do it at night. Now, right, we do it in the end like Rav Yehuda. We do B'dika Hachamitz at night. But what's even the logic to think that the word Or means night? Right, we paskin, we do B'dika Hachamitz at night. But the Mishnah said, or La'arba Asar, it said we do it during the daytime. That's very strange. Why is the Mishnah using this language? And if we look in source number 12, but if we were to first look, if you were to open up a Masechet Pesachim, you'll see that the first three Amud, Bet Amud Aleph, Bet Amud Bet, Gimel Amud Aleph, all the Gemara is doing is bringing different proofs for what or means, going back and forth. One Tana saying, one Amora saying, I think that or means night. Here's my proof. Another time, Amora saying, I think or means day. Here's my proof. Back and forth and back and forth. But for a daf and a half, it's very strange. It's a very long amount of time the Gemara spends on finding out when do we do B'dika Hachamitz? What does this word or mean? And if we look at how the Gemara concludes, the Gemara in the end brings a brisa, and it says a brisa from the end of our own Masechet, from the end of Masechet Pesachim in source number 12. We see it says, Tashma. Tana de Beishmuel, we learn, Lele Arba Asar Bodkin et Hachamitz Lor Haner. On the night of the 14th, we do B'dika Hachamitz Lor Haner. On the night of the 14th, Lele, that's the time we do B'dika Hachamitz. And therefore, Alma, or Tehu. Therefore, we learn that or means night. Even though we may have thought it means day, really or means night. And then the question is, V'tana Didan, my time alokatani Lele. If that's true, then why didn't our Tana use the word night, right? If we know what the word night is, we could have just said Lele. Why did our Tana say or? The Gemara answers, Lishna ma'alya nakat. The Gemara is teaching us that the way we're supposed to speak is with a Lishna ma'alya, which is with a heightened language, with a nicer language. We wouldn't want to start the Masechet off saying Lila, because that's kind of negative, it's kind of dark. So instead we started off saying or, which means daytime. Even though really what we mean is that you do it during the nighttime. Even it sounds like or, but really you do it during the nighttime. And that's the answer Gemara gives. But I think similar to the Pesukim is there's something deeper underlying this. The Gemara doesn't just go on a rant for a daf and a half to say, we're supposed to learn to use nice language. I think perhaps it's telling us something deeper about Pesach. Chazal is picking up on this ambiguity in the Pesukim of this differentiation, and we're not really sure, and this ambiguity, lack of clarity between day and night. And Chazal is also saying that. They're saying, we do B'dika Hachamitz, we start off our holiday at Pesach with Or. But what does Or mean? It means night. Night is really day. Day is really night. We're not really sure what's what. And so I think what we're just framing in this whole first section is we have day and we have night. And Pesach is all about not really knowing what's day and night. This kind of a little bit of mixing up of Yom and Laila. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to look at a bunch of psukim and some mefarshim and midrashim from Nevi'im and Ksuvim, which talk about Or and Choshech. They talk about day and night. And we're going to try to see if we can develop a theme that perhaps underlies these psukim and gemaras about Pesach. We could develop this theme about day and light, day and night, dark and light, and we could see what's this really trying to tell us about Pesach? What are these ambiguities and lack of clarity trying to show us? How is it so foundational to the holiday that we're about to go into? So let's look. Some of these psukim, I think, are so beautiful. As I was reading through them, just the psukim just speak to themselves, right? There's sometimes we have these, like, you listen to a shir and you hear these nice hashkafic ideas and something beautiful, but it's just the person saying it, meaning, like, I could say something beautiful, but it's not founded in something, then it's just a nice thing that I'm saying. But these psukim and these mefarshim, just straight out, they just say these beautiful things to live our lives by, these beautiful hashkafic points. So we're going to look at a few of them. In source number 13, we see in Zechariah, we're talking about the Geula. We're talking about the redemption in the end of days. And the way that the Geula is described, it's described as a day that is not day or night. It's kind of a blurring of the lines. In Pasuk Zion, in source number 13 in Zechariah, it says, V'haya yom echad hu yivada l'Hashem, lo yom v'lo laila. We're going to have a day that's going to come in the end of days that's going to be lo yom v'lo laila. It's a day that's not day and it's not night. V'haya l'eit erev y'ye'or. And at the nighttime, there's going to be light. The day of the Geula is going to be a day like Mitzrayim. It's going to be a day that it's not day or night. It's both day and night. It's not really so clear. And then we have one pasuk break, pasuk chet. We come to pasuk tet, and pasuk tet has the famous pasuk that we say in Aleinu every day. V'haya Hashem l'melech ha'kol ha'aretz, b'yom ha'hu yihiyah Hashem echad u'shmo echad. The end of days, Hashem is going to be one and his name is going to be one. So question number one is, how are these psukim connected to each other? And question number two is, what does this mean that the day of the Geula is going to be a day that's not day or night? The Malbim gives us a beautiful answer to it. I wanted to only maybe bring a line or two of the Malbim, but it hurt me too much to take out any lines of this Malbim. It's so beautiful. So we're going to read inside just in the language of the Malbim. He's going to spell out this beautiful idea to us about what does it mean that it's not day or night? What does it mean for the Geula to be a day where it's just Hashem and there's no such thing as light or dark? The Malbim tells us, Hu Yodea, in line number one, in source number 14. Yodea, Shehu LaHashem Oro, Miuchas LaHashem. The light in this world is going to be connected. It's going to be coming from only Hashem. Hashem is going to be the source of light. Lo LaShemesh, it says Reach, but it means to say Areach. Lo LaShemesh V'Areach, it's not going to be the moon or the sun that's giving light. Uma Orot. Rak ba'oro near e'or. It's not going to be the sun and the moon in the end of days that's giving off light. Rather, it's going to be the Or Hashem. It's going to be the light of God that's giving off light. Ba'al kein yihyeh lo yom v'lo laila. And therefore, it's not going to be day or night. Sheshimos yom v'laila yikru mitad ha'aros ha'or hagashmi. Shezoreach v'shokeya. Because the names day and night come from these ephemeral, this worldly experiences of daytime and nighttime. When the sun rises, though, the sun also will set. The moon gives off light, but then the moon goes away. They're not forever. They're only for a short amount of time, day and night, that we have in this world. Aval ha'or shehiyeh az, but the light that we're going to have in the times of the Geula, that is going to be an Or Tzmidi, Bilti Mishana. That's going to be a constant light, a light that never goes away, a light that never flickers. Let's skip down to the bolded part. All the light that's coming now from the sun and the moon, that's going to completely go away. And what are we going to have in the times of Geula? V'Hashem ba'atzmo u'bechvodo, Ya'ir v'yanhig v'yimshol. Hashem himself, Hashem in his glory, is going to be Yair. He's going to light it up for us. He's going to light up the world. He's going to rule the world. V'yimshol, he's going to rule. He's going to show us what's going to happen. The Malbim is saying that in the times of the Geula, there's not going to be this day and night. What we have is a human perception. What we see as dark and what we see as light is no longer going to be relevant, because all we're going to see is the constant strong light of Hashem. Hashem is going to be the bearer of light, and therefore everything in the world is going to be clear. And then we take a step back of this Geula and all these psukim. What they're trying to tell us is that in life, we have moments of darkness, we have moments of light. Sometimes when we feel like it's dark, the Malbim is saying, that's only our human perception. Really what Hashem sees is light. Hashem sees the greater picture. We experience periods of darkness, but it's only because we're only human. We can't really see the whole picture. But in the times of the Geula, that's when Hashem's aura is going to be reigning over the world. That's when the picture is going to be clear, not only to Hashem, but to all of us also. It's going to be a day that's lo yom velo laila. These human perceptions of what's good and bad, what's positive, negative, what's day and night, are no longer going to be. And it's going to be only the Or Hashem. It's going to be this clarity of Emuna, seeing the broader picture that Hashem sees for us. And I think this is an underpinning of the story of Yetziyat Mitzrayim. The Sefer HaChinuch tells us that the purpose of Sipur Yetziyat Mitzrayim is to instill Emuna in our children. And he says, do you ever wonder why there are so many mitzvot in the Torah that are Zecher Letziyat Mitzrayim, right? We do a ton of mitzvot and we say Zecher Letziyat Mitzrayim. We say it in Kiddush. It comes up by Tefillin. It comes up in Kriyat Shema. It comes up by lots of the holidays. We say every holiday, not just Pesach, is Zecher Letziyat Mitzrayim. Zecher Letziyat Mitzrayim comes up all the time. And Sefer HaChinuch says, because Yetziyat Mitzrayim teaches us to have Emunah in Hashem. It teaches us that even when we're in places like Mitzrayim, we're in those dark times, Hashem is going to take us out. And that's what we have to strengthen. That's what we have to teach our children. And that's the idea of Leil HaSeder. So I think this day that's yom velo laila, it's not day or night, but rather it's going to be the Or Hashem, that clarity of the greater picture. That's what we're teaching ourselves and our children during Sipur Yetziyat Mitzrayim. That's what we're trying to do at Leil HaSeder. We're trying to instill that emuna, that even when things seem like dark, really maybe they're light, because it's just our human perception. And Hashem knows this grander picture, and we believe that that grander picture is going to come to fruition, is going to come true. Now, the psukim in Micha, I think, bring this one step further, and then later we're going to have a few more psukim over here in Yeshayahu that's going to even take us one step further in this process. Psukim in Micha are bemoaning the fact that the Jewish people are in galus, they're in exile, and nothing is going right. Everything is bad. Pasuk Aleph, Micha saying that there's a harvesting, but there's nothing to eat. There's nothing growing in the lands anymore. Pasuk Bet, he says, Avad chasid min haaretz v'yashar ba'adam ayin. There are no more righteous people. There are no upstanding people in the world anymore. The land is desolate. The land is full of resham, of evil. Nothing is going right. We're totally in galus. We're totally in this place of darkness. But then he goes on for eight psukim like that, for six psukim like that. And then in Pasuk Zion, he comes back and says, because even though everything is bad, even though everything seems totally dark right now, he says, Va'ani b'Hashem etzapeh ochila le'elokei yishi yishme'ini elokai. He says, even though everything is dark, I place my faith in God. I look towards God because God is my savior and God is going to redeem me from this horrible place that I'm in right now. And he says in Pasuk Chet, this is a beautiful song, by the way, if anyone knows the song. When I was in my Shana Ba'aretz in Israel, before we went on a trip to Poland, we had a kumzitz and the Madrichot told us, we're teaching you songs right now, songs that you don't know yet, so that you know them when you're in Poland, because they have beautiful words. And when we sing them in Poland, then you're going to really feel it. Then you're going to know these words. And so these are the words. It starts in Pasuk Zion, the song, and it continues on in Pasuk Chet. He says, I'm going to place my faith in God, even though everything is so challenging and terrible. Pasuk Chet, Al tismichi oyavti li. My enemies should not rejoice. My enemies should not prevail over me. They shouldn't be happy. Ki nafalti kamti. Because when I fall, I get back up. Ki eisha b'choshach, Hashem orli. When I sit in the darkness, Hashem is my light. He's saying that even when we sit in these times of darkness, we recognize that Hashem is that or to us. Hashem is that light. And the Radak says this so beautifully. This is one of those points that I was saying before, where, you know, I want to say this beautiful Hashgafic thing about when we feel like we're in a place of darkness and life, Hashem's going to take us out. But, and that feels just a little bit very Hashgafic, but it doesn't feel so grounded. We see the Radak says it right here. The Radak says it in straight language. He says, Ki eshev b'chosha Hashem orli. When I sit in the darkness, Hashem is my light. Im eshev b'galas b'choshach. When I sit in exile and darkness, kalomar. Meaning to say, b'tzara gedola shehi nimshel l'choshach. When I sit in a dark time, when I sit in my life in a time of despair, b'tzara gedola, ani boteach b'Hashem shehiye adayin orli. I place my faith in God, that he will still be a light to me, that Hashem will take me out of this darkness and bring me into the light. The Radak saying, and what the Pasuk is just saying, is that when everything around us seems crazy and everything seems like it's going badly, when I'm sitting in that darkness, Hashem orli, Hashem is that light to me. And this is a story that it comes up often about my great-grandmother, who my grandparents have heard of many times, and it was just her yard site last week, so I feel it's appropriate. And it comes up all the time because it's so foundational. It's so foundational to who we are as a Jewish people and to the underpinnings of our faith. That a few years ago during COVID, during a Yom HaShoah program, there's a very meaningful, moving Yom HaShoah program on Zoom that YU did. And I was watching a survivor speak and I was crying. And I was feeling very meaningful, just sitting by myself in the office of my house, just crying, watching this program. Then I got myself together, like, okay, I'm going to go do Daf Yomi now. The program's over. Got to finish it up. And so I closed my computer. I'm like, totally fine now. I'm ready to just sit and learn the Daf. I open up my Gemara to start just reviewing the Daf Yomi that day. And tears start rolling down my face. I start crying, like really crying. And thinking that this Yom HaShoah program, oh, somebody is not on mute, perhaps. Okay, there we go. Tears rolling down my face, feeling, wow, imagine my great-grandmother, who just her yard site a few days ago, she's a Holocaust survivor. Imagine her sitting in the depths of darkness in the concentration camp. That's really what the Pasuk is saying. Ki eshev b'choshech. I'm sitting in that darkness, and imagine which sitting there she could know that she was going to live to see generations of children and grandchildren, me, her great-grandchild, sitting and learning Torah in the comfort of her homes. Wow, what would they believe? And when you spoke to my great-grandmother, she was such a woman of emunah. She always said, we asked her, how did you feel during the Holocaust, during the war? One time, me and my father went to interview her, and we said, like, did you believe? What did you think was going to happen? And she said, I just had emunah. I just believed that it was going to get better. And that's exactly, I think, what the Pasuk is telling us. Ki eshev b'choshech, when we sit in the darkness, in the depths of despair, Hashem orli. We hold on to that emunah, that Hashem is our light. And that even though it seems dark now, the day is going to come. There is going to be a light at the end of the tunnel. And this is exactly the experience of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, we were sitting in the depths of the darkness. And that's when Hashem took us out. There's actually a really interesting approach that Yael Ziegler develops, where she talks about the last three makot. You see that darkness is like building not only in Malchah Choshech, but in the last three makot of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. We see in the third to last makot in Arba, we have these locusts flying all over the place. And the Pasuk tells us that the Arba was Tisa in Haaretz. The Arba covered the eye of the world. What does that mean? It covered the eye of the world. So a lot of Mefarshim tell us it means that they covered the sun. The sun is the eye of the world. And the Arba covered the sun, thereby making the entire land pitch black. It was dark. So that's the third to last makkah. Second to last makkah, we move even more into the darkness. We move further into that choshech. Because what is that makkah? That's makkah choshech. That's when the entire land was pitch black. And the Pasuk tells us, vayamesh choshech. You could feel the darkness. It was so entrenched in darkness. So we have the Arba, it covered the sun, and the whole land was dark. Then the darkness becomes tangible. We're getting even deeper into the darkness. And then the last makkah, that's the first source that we read in today's year. That's what we read. Vayehi b'chatzi halayla. It was in the middle of the night. It was in the depths of the darkness. And she develops this idea that in the end of Mitzrayim, the end of our experience in Mitzrayim was such darkness. And we get deeper and deeper into the darkness. And it's at that moment, Vayihi b'chatzi halayla, that Hashem reaches in and takes us out. That's right. That's what we saw in the first source. Vayihi b'chatzi halayla, that's when it starts the geula. That's when B'nai Israel begin to leave Mitzrayim. Because in those moments that we feel like everything, like Micha is saying, everything is going bad around us, and we feel like everything is dark, we don't despair. We don't think that Hashem isn't there anymore. We recognize Ki Isha Bachushach, Hashem Orli. And that's what Mitzrayim is all about. When we feel like we're in the depths of darkness, that's when Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. And we instill that in Muna. And now another beautiful, he just adds to this. He says, we're going to look at the last bolded line. He says, Mitoch Afela, the Yalkut Shimoni tells us, Mitoch Afela Ora. It's not only that light brings darkness, but within the darkness lies light. Right? If we go a little bit earlier, he says, Mitoch Richa Kiruv. From distance comes closeness. Mitoch Nefila Kima. From falling comes rising up. Mitoch Afela Ora. From darkness comes light. We see that inextricably linked are the darkness and the light. The light doesn't just come after the darkness. The light lies within the darkness itself. The difficulties and struggles we go through, those itself are going to bring light upon us. And this idea is just brought home in this Pasuk in Yeshayahu, where Moshe Tzvi Weinberg, he gives a lot of shiurim about chassidut and hashkafa, and he said a beautiful word. He said, we have these two psukim. We have, ki eshev b'choshech Hashem orli. When I sit in darkness, Hashem is my light. Now we have this pasuk here in source number 18, which is, ha'am ha'holchim b'choshech re'u or gadol. The nation that walks in darkness. He says, what's the difference between these two psukim? We have yoshev b'choshech, we have sitting in choshech, and we have holchim b'choshech, we have walking in the darkness. He says, what's the difference? There's a certain level of emunah to sitting in the darkness, to sitting in the darkness and waiting for Hashem to take us out, waiting, recognizing that there's going to be a geula. But an even greater level is to be an am haholchim b'choshech, to walk in the darkness, to lean into it, to say, not only that this is going to pass, but that this is good for me, that going through the struggle is making me a stronger person. These challenges are going to build me. And when we lean into that darkness, when we're in am haholchim b'choshech, the pasuk in Yeshayahu tells us, not only are we going to get from choshech to or, ra'u or gadol, then we're going to get to see a great light. Then a great light is going to be upon us. Because when we learn to lean into that darkness, that's when we're going to be the most successful. And pasuk 19 is, I think, reflective of this total experience of Leil HaSeder. The purpose of Leil HaSeder, like the Sefer HaChinuch said, is to instill emunah in our children, to instill emunah in ourselves. Pasuk Gimel here says, "Lahagid baboker chastecha ve'emunat chabaleilot." That during the daytime, we should say Hashem's faith, say Hashem's praise, and during the nighttime is when we express our faith. During the nighttime, those more challenging times, that's emunat chabaleilot. And that exactly is what we're trying to instill in Leil HaSeder. So let's take these themes and just move into our last section here, where we're going to look at where we see these themes come up during Leil HaSeder. Rabbi Ari Leibowitz is a great teacher of mine. I learned a lot from Rabbi Leibowitz. And his approach to the Seder is, he says, often people want to say vorts about the Seder, but you'll see a shiur posted, top 10 vorts for the Seder. You know, 5 vorts on Manishtana. 7 vorts on Magid, all these little divrei Torah here and there. But whenever he gives a Haggadah shir, he doesn't give a short vort shir. He says, I'm going through one commentary, their entire commentary in the Haggadah, and following what themes they have throughout the entire thing. Because Leil HaSeder isn't a night for just cute divrei Torah. It's a night of instilling emunah. It's a night of instilling our values. And in order to see our values, we have to go through, we have to follow a theme straight through and see how that teaches us the underpinnings of our faith. So what we're going to do right now is we're just going to end off by looking at Leil HaSeder and seeing where these themes of light and darkness come up at Leil HaSeder, so that they're nice pinpoints and places. So if anyone wants to share at their Seder, oh, I heard something about this theme of light and dark. It's not just, oh, this is a theme that is overarching the Seder. It's a theme that's in the Psukim. It's a theme that's in the Gemaras. But it's a theme that we see right in the text of Leil HaSeder. We see it in a few places. So let's look at one. one is going to be eventually in a place, but this is more overall about Leil HaSeder, is that we have a tremendously large amount of mitzvot that we do at night on Leil HaSeder, right? This Mishnah that I brought in Megillah is a Mishnah that lists all of the mitzvot that we have that are mitzvot hayom. And it says a mitzvah that's for the daytime, kasher to do the entire day. You could do the mitzvah the entire day. And the mitzvah of the nighttime, you could do the entire night. And the Mishnah goes on to list mitzvot of the daytime and mitzvot of the nighttime. And in this list of mitzvot of daytime and nighttime, it's totally not proportional how many mitzvot hayom there are versus how many mitzvot halayla there are. If you just take a glance, just in a second, if you look at the Mishnah, it says, kol hayom kasher le, let's see, mitzvot of the daytime that we're looking at. It's kasher for kriyas ha-megillah, kriyas ha-halel, tkiyat shofar, netila lulav, tfilat musaf, musafin, levidoy ha-parim, vidoy maser, vidoy yom kirim, smicha, shlita, tzipa, on and on and on. All these mitzvot of the daytime. And then how many mitzvot of night are there? Look in the bold part. Kol halayla kasher le, siras ha-omer, cutting the omer, ulahekter chalad and veivarim. Two, only two mitzvot of layla it lists. In the Gemara then it says, oh, we also have all these mitzvot at night on Pesach, which are our mitzvot. But we see this huge gap between how many mitzvot there are in the daytime, how many mitzvot there are in the nighttime. And the question is why? Why are there so many mitzvot that we do Leil HaSeder at night? We eat matzah at night, we have maror, we have dalet kosot, we do haseba, we do sipur yitzim, we triumph of the Haggadah, we say kiddush. So many different mitzvot that we have surrounding Leil HaSeder that happens during the nighttime. And I think it's the idea is that at Leil HaSeder, we're supposed to be experiencing the story of Mitzrayim as if we ourselves are leaving Mitzrayim. If you look in source number 21, the Mishnah says, "Bechol dor vador, chayav adam liros etz atzmo kilu hu yatzim Mitzrayim." We're supposed to see ourselves as if we ourselves left Mitzrayim, and the only way we can experience, we can feel like we're experiencing Yetziyah Mitzrayim, is if we go through it in real time. In real time, it happened at night. We were suffering, and then the Geula began, and then from the night through the daytime, that's when we are redeemed. We have to experience it in the moment. It's a little bit like the halacha by Megillah, by Kriyas HaMegillah on Purim. We say that you can't read the Megillah out of order. The Megillah has to be read from start to finish, because if we read it out of order, we start in the end and then we end in the beginning, we're going to lose the drama of the story. We have to feel like we were going to be destroyed by Haman, and then Hashem swooped in and saved us, and it was Purim, and it was Anes Gadol, Me'afela Lo'ora, and everything was good. But we have to be able to feel that drama. We have to experience the drama in order to appreciate the light that's going to come in the end, in order to appreciate the Geula. So the same thing on Leil HaSeder. We do all these mitzvot strangely at night because in real time, we want to feel like we're experiencing Leil HaSeder so that we ourselves can feel that Geula from Mitzrayim. Now let's go to source number 24. I think this is a beautiful one also. And it's part of the Seder that it doesn't seem so exciting, but there's really beautiful messages in it. It's the Maaseh B'Rabbi Eliezer, where we see all of the rabbis are sitting around the table having a Seder in Bnei Brak. And if you look in the bold part, Vayu Misaprim B'Yitzias Mitzrayim Kol Oto Halayla. They're telling the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim the entire night. Ad Shabbat Tamidehim Ba'amru Lahem, until their Talmidim come to them and they say, Rabotenu, Rabbis, Higia Zman Kriyat Shema Shel Shachrit. You have to stop the Seder. It's become the time for the daylight, the daytime Kriyat Shema. The students are saying, it's time for Shema. The Seder is over. But two questions here. One is, what's the rush to say Kriyat Shema? I know it's Alos HaShachar. I know that it's daytime, but you actually have halachically until 3 hours of the day to say Kriyat Shema. So what's the big rush? And number two is that the halacha of the Seder is that you have to stop eating at a certain point. The Korban Pesach, the matzah, has to be finished eating at a certain point. But you're allowed to continue saying things about Yetziyah Mitzrayim until whenever you want, right? We say until Tekfo Shena, until you're overcome by tiredness, you're supposed to stay up learning all about Yetziyah Mitzrayim. So why do they say stop? Why do they say it's time for Kriyat Shema, you should stop the Seder? And there's a beautiful word that I heard from, I read it in a Haggadah, and it said the author was Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz. And I was like, oh, Rabbi Leibowitz, that's my teacher. I'm going to read it. I was like, oh, that was an awesome Dvar Torah. And then I read it again. And I was like, that is not how you spell Leibowitz. There's an extra I in there. It's not how the Rabbi Leibowitz I always listen to spells his name. Turns out it's a different person, but I still read it because it was Rabbi Leibowitz, a different Rabbi Leibowitz, and it's a beautiful vort that he says. He says, but not a vort, a foundational idea, right? Something that's really underpinning our Leil HaSeder. He says, what does it mean that they said, it's time to stop the Haggadah because we've reached Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharis. And he says that Kriyat Shema is a proclamation of our belief in God. It's Kabbalas Ol Malchut Shemayim. And when we reach the time of Shema and Shacharis, we're saying that we've reached a certain clarity to say, we're ready to say Shema. We're ready to take on the Ol Malchut Shemayim. We're ready to take on the kingship of God. And he says, points out, if we look not only in Kriyat Shema itself, but in the brachot that we say after Kriyat Shema, there's a difference, a slight difference between what we say during the night and during the daytime. At night in Maariv after Shema, we say, Emes ve'emuna. We end off Shema saying, Emes, Hashem is true, Hashem is one, ve'emuna. And we strengthen our emuna, our faith, throughout the nighttime. Why? Because nighttime is a time that we need to strengthen our faith. Nighttime is something that it's a little dark. It's not so clear. So at Maariv, we say Emet ve'emuna. And that's where we start off Leil HaSeder. We start off at that point of darkness of saying, we're trying, our goal is to instill emuna at night. And as we work through Leil HaSeder, we work towards the morning. When we come to the daylight, we come to the morning, that's showing that our emuna has come to a place of clarity. We've successfully built our emuna through the Laila, and we've come to the Yom when our emuna is clear. And that's why in the morning in Berachos Kriyat Shema, we say, Emes, not the emuna, not our faith, but rather Emes v'yatziv. Emes v'yatziv is something that's firm, that's steady, that's strong. Right? We see this lashon in the dream of Yaakov's dream with the ladder. We see that there's a sulam mutzav arza, a ladder that is entrenched in the ground. It's firmly rooted in the ground. And Emes v'yatziv, and then all of these next things that we use to describe the Nachal, Mekayim, V'yashar, V'ne'em, Ma'avu, Ahav, and on, is all describing our faith in God. And we're saying that at night, it's all about emuna. But by the morning, our faith is steadfast. Our faith is yatziv. Our faith is strong. And perhaps that is what the students are telling the rabbis at the Seder. They're saying, you've successfully gone through the Seder, the trajectory of the Seder at night. We've successfully built our emuna so much so that we got to Zman Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharis, the time of complete clarity during the daytime. And that is when the Seder can be over, because then we've achieved our goal. We've achieved our emuna and clarity, which is the purpose of Leil HaSeder. And just to finish, we'll look at source number 27. This was my inspiration for developing this entire idea. I thought, we don't talk so much about the songs at the Seder. We have the whole Seder, we're going on giving different Torah and doing games and all these things. And by the time we get to Nirtza, by the time we get to singing, everyone is Devar Torah'd out. Everyone is tired. It's not the time for learning more things. That leads us to not know so much about the songs, right? We say these songs at Leil HaSeder, Vayehi b'chatzi halayla. I don't know. My family, my grandfather says the lines, and then everyone else just says, Laila, bye Laila. Nobody knows what all those words are in between. So I wanted to look into a little bit, what really is this song? What is Vayehi b'chatzi halayla? And if you look at the words and even just the name of the song, the entire theme of the song is Vayehi b'chatzi halayla. And the song goes through different miracles that happened throughout Jewish history where the redemption happens at night. So the Geula came during our darkest moments right in the nighttime. If we look at the song, there's a few of them. In the beginning, it starts Vayehi b'chatzi halayla, Az rov nisim hifleita b'layla. And that's talking about Yetziat Mitzrayim. All the miracles of Yetziat Mitzrayim of leaving Egypt happened b'layla. We see the next line, v'Yisrael yasar lakel v'yuchalo. That's talking about Yaakov fighting with the angel. That happens the entire night. And came alus ha-shachar, then Yaakov was safe. The entire night, he was fighting with the angel, and he prevailed. We see later it talks about Daniel and Belshazzar and seeing the writing on the wall and saving the Jewish people. All of these redemptions that happened at night. And the last line, the last line and a half of this song is that beautiful pasuk that we saw to start off section number two. Karev yom asher hu lo yom velo laila. A day is coming that is not day nor night. The kol halaila ta'ir ki yom chashchat laila. The darkness of the light time, the light of the day is going to light up the darkness of the light. Vayehi v'chatzi halaila. And Rev Rimon in his Haggadah, which by the way, totally recommended Haggadah, has such nice different Torah and games and things for the Seder. Rev Rimon says, that this is trying to show us the essence of Yetziat Mitzrayim, the essence of Leil HaSeder, in that it happens by Yehi B'chatzir HaLaila. When we're in the middle of the night, in the darkest moment, that's when Hashem reaches in and takes us out. And the whole purpose of Leil HaSeder is to instill this emuna in us. So just to take a step back and see what we've seen, we saw this ambiguity in the Pesukim. Did the Exodus happen during the day or during this night? This ambiguity, this lack of clarity. And then Chazal picks up on it. They say, or Larbasar. We do B'tikal Chametz, or Larbasar. Does that mean day? Does that mean night? And then we follow it through into all these beautiful Pesukim, which talk about how the Geula is going to be a day that's neither day nor night. The Geula is going to be a time where we have Hashem's light lighting up for us. And how Leil HaSeder is about the Emunas Chabalelot, is remembering to instill that Emunah in us even in the times are dark. When we sit in the darkness, we remember that Hashem is light. We aim to be a nation that walks into the darkness, that leans into the dark. And we see these themes come up all over Leil HaSeder. We see it come up when we do all these different mitzvot at night to see ourselves as if we're leaving Egypt. We do it when we're saying, Rebbe, it's come time for Zman Kriyat Shema Shal Shachar, it's that time of clarity in the day. And we end off the Seder in Nirtza saying it, by Yehi Bechatzi HaLaila. It is in the middle of the night that the Geula comes. So this Leil HaSeder, let's all take in this idea. Let's think on it, reflect on it, and see if you could find any other places where it comes up in the Haggadah, where we have this darkness to light, this Or in the Choshech. And hopefully this theme of darkness to light can really deepen and make more meaningful everyone's experience this Pesach of the Seder night. Chag Kasher V'Sameach, everyone. I'm happy to stay on for questions, and I hope everybody has a beautiful, light-filled Yontif.
There are a few questions in the chat box if you want to take a look.
And then check it out. Please resend sources, not that. Could the prohibition break people?
Don't worry.
Of breaking an Estim bone. It really is the fact that the Estim was, I like that. You're not allowed to break, someone said that you're not allowed to break the bone of a Korban Pesach, and the bone of a Korban Pesach is called an etzem. And perhaps that's linked to the Geula happening, the etzem hayom hazeh, because we left in the middle of the day, then you're not allowed to break the bone. Maybe. The Gemara doesn't talk about that, but it's definitely a nice connection. Let's see, night versus day. So how do we explain the chipazon? Very good. Great question. The Gemara actually goes into this. The Gemara, you can see, it's actually on the source sheet in Daf Tet. Arnie Schwartz's question says that, how do we explain chipazon, B'nai Yisrael leaving like in a haste, in a hurry? The Gemara talks about, what chipazon are we really celebrating? Is it chipazon de Yisrael or chipazon de Mitzrayim? Because chipazon de Mitzrayim, the Mitzrayim, they were in a huge rush for the Jewish people to leave. So the chipazon of Mitzrayim is at night, is B'chatzi HaLaila, right after Makkah B'chorah, when they wanted to kick them out. But the chipazon of Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim, like Rashi was telling us, like the Gemara told us, didn't happen until the day. So chipazon could really go either way. It could either mean chatzot, or it can mean alos hashachar. Good question. Could this be an illustration? There are not many magic moments. Redemption is a process. Very good, right. Else in life, when do you feel married, chuppah or later? When do you feel like a parent, at birth or after? Right. Often in life, we have these moments of geula, but those moments of the geula, that's not what it's about. It's about the process of what's going to come after that. So we see the geula happens at night, it happens during the day, but doesn't really matter when it happens. It happens at a time, and that's the beginning of a jump-starting process, which is a beautiful idea for Yetziat Mitzrayim, actually, right? Says Ben. Right, Mitzrayim is all about leaving Mitzrayim and going to get the Torah and become a nation. So really, this moment isn't what's important. It's what's going to come after. He compares it to, when do you feel like you're married at the chuppah, or when you're really married after that? Or when do you feel like a parent? When you have a baby, the baby's born, or when the baby starts growing up and you start parenting? Really, it's about the process afterwards. Very nice. Oh, spot Emmett. Oh, there's a lot of questions. Well, thanks. Okay. Very nice. Ah, both my first and last name contain the word or. Very nice. Good comment. Spot Emmett. Spot Emmett. The neighbor I carried with. No, I said, well, very likely they perform the Seder in a manner of time that you made a major for me. Right, Esfat Emmet says that the Tanem B'nei Brak got so carried away talking about Yetziat Mitzrayim, they forgot to do any of the mitzvot at night, which is a problem. And you have to eat them before the time of Kriyat Shema in the morning. So that's what they're saying, just like in the Beit HaMikdash, better do all the mitzvot before the daytime comes, because then the Zman of the mitzvah is going to be done. Okay, I think that is all the questions.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else want to make a comment? Thank you very much. Okay. I'm all right. Enjoy. I wish you Chag Sameach. Thank you for the share. Yes, I was discussing this with my son-in-law, actually, with Noah the other day, the whole problem with the night and day and the Torah's, you know, back and forth contradictions. So thank you. And
I have a question.
Yes.
Another question. Given that this story of Egypt is the seminal story about leaving Egypt with God's help, et cetera, and I know that even in a mass event, every person's perspective is different. But how, when you have 600,000 people, how do they not know if it's day or night, assuming that they repeated this generation after generation? This is a seminal story, and we don't know.
Great question. We have no Masorah. What happened? Day, night, the psukim, back and forth, day, night. You'd think, like, someone out of 600,000 people would remember. Very unclear.
Like lots of the Torah. Snake to me, Machazim says that. That's a fundamental principle of Torah, the Torah's full of contradictions. And finding the solutions are, in a certain sense, less important. The fact that the Torah contradicts itself is the message that many different ways to look at it. But this is, broader discussion. Okay. Yeah. I don't know if we're Erev Pesach, but anyways. Okay. Please God, those who are able and willing, I'll be giving a shirt tomorrow, 9:30. Continue what we've done. The Haggadah, hopefully things you can, illuminate, to use this, shiur, our Seder, as all the shiurim hopefully do. So that'll be 9:30 a.m. tomorrow morning, Eastern time. And I want to wish everybody, Chag Sameach, and everybody be well and, enjoy. Okay. Thank you very much.
You.
Have a great
thank
day,
you.
Everybody.
Thank you.
It's cleaning. No, they're not learning to be cleaning. I think, we can take a vote. No, that's, okay. Very good.
Chag Sameach.